Hi, this is John Christopher, and welcome back to Real Life. Today I have as my guest Ian Smith, who is an acquisition specialist. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ian. I want to talk about mergers and acquisitions, and especially since you are a specialist in that. Statistically, many acquisitions fail. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, the research is pretty comprehensive now. We've been looking at this subject for, 20, 30 years, and it's the same sort of conclusions that keep coming out, which is we are just not good at integrating acquisitions. It's not so much that the deal itself is overpaid, although they often are, and it's not even the structure of the deal, although sometimes they are badly structured. It's really how we're going to integrate them. People seem to forget how important that integration piece is, and they're not building into their thinking.
Are acquisitions only just for large public companies?
Right. So, I mean, one of the things we've been talking about in sort of local chief executive officer sort of clubs, CEO-type clubs and those kind of peer groups, is that surprisingly, acquisitions should absolutely be part of smaller private company thinking as well. If you just think about it this way, the only two ways you can grow a company and scale a company is organically, i.e., you just keep growing your business, whatever that is, and or you buy something else to get bigger and scale. Now, private companies, they'll never, it's very difficult to get to the full potential of a private company just growing organically. And often there are smaller companies that would love to be bought by a bigger private company, and a deal could be struck. I mean, certainly there is plenty of money out there to be able to access for the right sort of deal. But so I say acquisitions aren't just a large company thing. I do say that they are risky, but they're only risky because people aren't doing them the right way.
Well, it's kind of interesting you bring up something that I've had friends who have worked at mid-sized companies to be bought out by a larger company.
Right.
And, would be, say, a family business that started out, and then all of a sudden this larger company comes in, and the smaller company, instead of growing, fails.
Right.
And why is that?
Yeah, and so what you're putting your finger on there is that as you look at buying another business, you really have to be thinking through, so how am I going to integrate that? How am I going to accumulate the value I deserve, and how is the other side going to get the value? And here's one of the problems I think we don't really address. There's always a second tier of management that might not be part of the original family. They might not be getting rich in any way from the deal. So the question I put to acquirers is, what's in it for them, right?
Right.
What are you going to do to motivate them? Because they're coming to work to be better at what they do, i.e. mastery. We've talked about this before, the Daniel Pink stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get better at what they do. They want a purpose in life, and they want to know that they've got some autonomy. Now, I think acquirers have got a much better chance of getting that right instead of, say, the family owners, because there's other pressures on family owners. But they snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Instead of leaning in and doing that, they go almost the other way and leave them alone. And it's such a mistake.
Instead of giving direction, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Instead of taking possession with, say, a specific director in charge of the integration project on the acquiring side, a specific director owning the success of the deal, and I mean the success of the deal over the next 5 years. I'm not talking about the next 5 weeks.
Mm.
So acquisitions are risky, but they're absolutely essential. And the problem is that people aren't doing well enough. And it's not even that practiced or bigger acquirers are that good at them. HP just bought a UK company, a software company, the last few years, and they don't write small checks. HP wrote a check of nearly $11 billion, right, for a company that was, maybe $400 or $500 million of revenue. So it was a huge multiple of sales. It was a massive deal. It was a complete disaster.
What was the thinking at the time, do you think?
Well, I think HP saw this specific part of the software world as being, which was kind of knowledge management, a specific part of the world that HP weren't strong in. But the problem was that they really did not think through the post-acquisition strategy. The seller was really very dependent on Dr. Lynch, the founder and Cambridge mathematician. And, you know, that deal looked risky from where I was standing, reading the Wall Street Journal. So I don't know what they were. And they actually put a moratorium. I know this for a fact. HP stopped doing acquisitions for at least 12 months after that deal to revamp their process. And that's a company, HP, who lived on acquisitions. I mean, they did a lot of deals. So one of the things about acquisitions that's scary is even the big guys get it wrong, but there really is a better way, and that's where I pushed out into the market in the last month, really, my new book called The Acquirer's Playbook, because it's not difficult. You just have to do it really, really simply, but really, really well every time, thinking through the acquisition.
In your book, do you mention anything about Warren Buffett? Because we had a conversation about...
Yes. Well, that was a good reference point, isn't it? Warren Buffett's in my book. Please buy it. Here's the thing about Warren Buffett, and it goes right to the nub of this point. Warren Buffett does not buy technology companies. And he doesn't just buy billion-dollar corporations, although he's in the press again for doing just that. But last year, he bought 25 companies. You know, his group bought 25
right.
companies. Some of those were 1.9 million. I mean, you couldn't buy a house in Sag Harbor for 1.9 million, for God's sake. Yeah?
That's true.
You know, so 1.9 million is nothing, right? But the fact is, he does small deals, little bolt-on deals and big deals, but he doesn't touch technology companies. Why wouldn't he do that? He doesn't know how to run them. So he wouldn't touch them.
Right.
In other words, there's so many companies go on the acquisition trail and they make the first of many mistakes. They buy what's up for sale. That's not what you should be doing. You should be buying what you want to buy. You see, whether it's up for sale or not is totally irrelevant.
It means nothing, right?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Otherwise, what are we doing? What, an IT company is going to buy a pizza chain because it's up for sale?
So do you think it's the investment guys going to one of the companies
That is a very good point, John. Very good point indeed. I'm sure that's some pressure. I think especially if you're a public company senior guy and the Goldman Sachs and all the investment banks, wherever, you know, understandably are bringing you deals and the share price is under pressure. And maybe you're in an M&A mergers and acquisitions cycle, which is high, which we are in. This will be the biggest year in mankind for mergers and acquisitions.
That's phenomenal, yeah.
I mean, we are tracking numbers bigger than 2007. We know how that turned out.
Right, right.
I mean, it's scary. It really is.
It is. Now, if somebody wants to get a hold of your the Acquirer's Playbook, how can they get that? Where is that, on Amazon?
Just check it on Amazon. Yes, the Acquirer's Playbook, it comes up, and certainly you can get it there. And if you know, and certainly, you know, I love, as you know, just connecting with people. So
yeah, how can they reach you?
I mean, I think just throw me an email, probably, just a simple one, which is Ian, I-A-N, just Ian at TPP, that's the portfolio partnership, so Ian at TPPBoston.com.
That's the TPP, which is Tom Paul Paul, right?
Correct.
Boston.com. Okay, great.
And you know, I mean, if it's an emergency, you know, there's always the sell, and people are in emergencies in these situations.
That's true.
I've seen people in a deal thinking, why am I here, you know? And look, you know, again, because we know each other well. I mean, if people want to reach out to me on 978-395-1155.
Fantastic. Great.
I'll take calls as well.